university.
Ignorant, we gon' bring that racket like it's Wimbledon. Discipline, but yet to find anyone equivalent. Ain't no podcast similar, now you won't find no synonyms. Be produced by Q Smith, sound like it's by Timbaland. JBB in charge, EG set the bar. Be sipping water tree and Turk gon' lay the law. Jokes may go too far, but that's just who we are. Prolific, so gifted, words that have your soul lifted. So consistent, yeah, so different. Ain't nobody copy that lane. Carry that torch, heat up the game. Ain't nobody got that flame. Different, different. Man, this intro different. Man, this intro ignorant. God damn.
And what's good, ladies and gentlemen? You know what day it is? You know what time it is? Time for another edition, rendition, of the one and only D1 Ignite University podcast. I am your host with the most eating toast, seeing ghosts, Jay Brown, coming to you semi-live from another undisclosed location. I don't have to say much. The world has just been under a shit show for the last week, 2 weeks. I don't know. Here to talk more about it with me is my co-host, my dog. It is officially the end of Scully season below the Mason-Dixon line, but he is holding on to dear life. Ladies and gentlemen, Captain Scully, Mr. Play-by-Play himself, Devin Ashby, what's good?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome, everybody. It's been a minute. I am a year older since the last time y'all talked to me. You know, happy belated birthday to myself. World's fucking crazy, but it's been crazy for a couple of years. I mean, well, longer than that. But, like, yeah, it's crazy. It's some shit in the air right now.
I don't know what it is, but it feels like the world just said, you know what? I ain't done some dumb shit in a while. Let's turn that up to 10.
Nasty business. You know what's in the air? Young Miami's ass.
That too. I have no further explanation, ladies and gentlemen, so we just gonna get into the show. So, let's start off with a segment I like to call What the Fuck is Going On with the World? We'll start off with one. Diddy's multiple properties have been raided by the feds. That's right. You heard that right. Diddy, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Diddy Dirty Money, whatever the hell he's calling himself right now, his house has been raided by the feds.
He called cellmate 25718, whatever.
Hell, we can go down the list of potential charges. Sex trafficking, drug trafficking, an R word they won't let you say on TikTok, sexual assault, child molestation. There's just a lot of things going drug on. With Diddy. What?
The drug trafficking too.
I said drug trafficking first.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. My fault.
Yeah, it is. Okay, let's be real about this. We all thought for years that Diddy was on some shady shit. Like, everybody. And now, well, damn.
It's all came out. That's essentially it. I mean, people been had stories. Like, we knew. It's always been. It's one of the worst kept secrets in Hollywood. Diddy is nasty. That nigga is weird. Niggas have been saying this probably since 94, 93.
I mean, yeah, like
they've been right for years.
There's theories out there that he had Biggie killed, that he had Pac shot, and you know what? I don't believe in conspiracy theories, but I can't say I wouldn't at least entertain this one.
And that's just them two. This whole, like, everybody that's been associated with him, like Heavy D and Kim Porter and all these people that just end up dead with heart attacks and all this craziness. This nigga Diddy got a lot of dark shit around him. And then the whole Cassie situation, you know, hanging Wale over a roof. I mean, over a balcony and blowing up Kid Cudi's car. And
I was just about to say Cudi's car. Like, this is a James Bond villain.
This man Mace then turned into a pastor because of Diddy, bro. Like, you know?
So
he was like the Christ. So, he said, I can't deal with this anymore.
Scully, so would you say that Diddy is a bad boy?
Yes. Yes, I would. I would.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. You
And
know what they say.
we know his relationship with JT. And JT of the City Girls, for those of you who may not know, there
is Miami. It's not JT. It's Miami.
Is it Miami? Yeah. I swear it was JT.
JT got common sense. Well, I don't know if she got common sense, but JT knew when to walk away.
JT had a little bit of
he's
common
with
sense.
Miami. Miami was out here. Miami. All
right. Yeah, Miami of the City Girls. My correction. My bad. I get them confused sometimes.
JT was dealing with Uzi. That was the weird shit she was on.
Yeah. So, Yo Miami was apparently accused of sneaking in pink cocaine. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I'm not 1,000% sure what that is, but I 100% don't want to look it up.
Well, I did, and I turned my location off so the feds could get it. So, basically, no, I'm joking. We're chilling. It's a mixture of. It's not even really cocaine for real. Like only 2% of it is cocaine. The rest of it is like ketamine, ecstasy, red dye that smells like strawberries, and something else. It's just a bunch of, it's basically just niggas are too cheap to get real cocaine, so they get this shit.
What in the Breaking Bad is going on in this world?
Exactly.
That is some Heisenberg Breaking Bad Walter White type shit.
Right. This shit is just disgusting work. This is disgusting.
And I honestly can't explain this. This is beyond the ignorant level of reporting, because this is just some shit that you do not wake up and be ready for. And like, people was at Diddy's houses. His kids was at his houses in handcuffs.
Yo, the joke, the memes have been killing me, yo. And nigga said,
You see the one video of the dude that said, hey, some wild shit go on around 3 a.m. My basketball roll over there, I let it stay.
Nah, I didn't. I didn't even see that. But like, even that, it was, he killed it. Ah, man. Young Miami, man, I tell you. And not only was she accused of pink cocaine, now there's a lawsuit that her and 50 Cent's baby mama was paid by Diddy as sex workers. It's like, bro, that should be the least surprising thing out of all this. Y'all thought them Birkin bags was free? Y'all thought Diddy was just, out of the goodness of his heart, giving her Birkin bags and flying her around the country? No, what you think she was doing to get them bags, bro?
You thought
people was getting flown to Dubai to get shitted on.
You thought shit was sweet? Well, ain't nothing free in this game, especially when you dealing with Diddy dirty money. First of all, red flag should be, why would you trust a man who's changed his name that many times?
Right. Why would you trust a man that is a whore at 50 years old?
Why would you trust a man at 50 years old that's willingly go after women his son's age?
Dated one of his son's exes.
Oh, that is diabolical shit.
It's diabolical. Lori Harvey was dating his son. And when they broke up, he said, you know what? Let me get my turn in. Like, this a porno or some shit. Like, yo, what are we doing?
And look, and we all know Lori Harvey does not exactly have the best choice in men. But, Chada, everybody got to do better. Of all, if Diddy is in your address book, if you associate with Diddy, for anything past the hi, how are you, and keep it pushing level, I'm questioning your common sense.
I was just thinking about it. Remember in Wipe Me Down when Boosie said just left New York City, hooked up with P. Diddy? What did he mean by that?
What did you mean by that?
What y'all was doing when y'all hooked up?
You had one of them parties? Was T.D. Jakes there?
Was Meek Mill there?
Was Meek
Did you go in the back room of his yacht?
These are questions that will not be answered.
That we don't want the answers to. I don't even want to know. That's
that will not be answered.
Matter of fact, don't even tell.
Maybe by that RICO charge. By the way, he is getting a RICO charge.
As he should. Bro, drug trafficking, sex trafficking, and whatever other trafficking. Nigga, RICO is the only thing you can get it with.
Can we stop the trafficking on I-75 in Texas? Start that out there.
I-95 in D.C. because of the bridge? Never mind. We're going to get to that.
We're absolutely about to get to that. right now. For those,
but right before that, I'm gonna right say
before that,
this Diddy stuff is perfect example. Celebrity worship is stupid. It's always been stupid because y'all don't know these people.
You
y'all
don't.
be talking about my big bro and my sis this and my sis Miami and oh he had a real one and oh they're goals, nigga. They were never goals. She's a prostitute.
They was plastic at best.
Nigga, these are terrible people. You only like them because of the music. They are not people that you need to be aspiring to be like. Because you don't know these people besides what they show you in person.
You didn't know if they even wrote the music. Yeah, we know Uzi wrote a lot of City Girl stuff. Yachty, I'm sorry, Yachty did.
Right.
But we'll touch on that one, you know, at a later date. We do have some news coming from the Baltimore area that is a lot more sad, but it can get funny in a second. But since this affects you and your home area, excuse me, home region, Captain Scully, I'd like you to explain what went on at the Francis Scott Key Bridge just yesterday at the time of this recording.
So basically, so I'm for those that obviously don't remember, I'm from Maryland, went to college in Baltimore, so Baltimore is like a second home to me. But basically, the Francis Scott Key Bridge is one of the most important, is located in one of the more important areas of the city. Like, you wouldn't know that if you drive over there, but all the ports are over there. The Amazon building that I used to work at is over there. I actually used to take Francis Scott Key Bridge to work. If I was running late, I'd take that bridge. But all of the hub, the business hub and stuff in Baltimore is over there. It's like one of the largest ports actually in the entire country. So if you're ordering from Amazon and it's taking longer than it should be, you'll know why. It's because that's one of the largest ports. Anyway, there was at around 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning on Tuesday, there was a cargo ship that lost power a couple of times and directly collided with the bridge. And naturally, the bridge collapsed, like complete. Like, this, if you haven't seen the video by this point, it's like so jarring every time I watch it. It's just like insane.
It's like if a wrecking ball hit a house of cards.
Right. Like, it literally, I mean, that bridge fell apart like Jenga. It just snapped at like all the pressure points. You can see all the pressure points, like anybody that knows about bridges and how they're put together. Like, it hit one of the focal points and like the whole jump just snapped. And there was something like, I can't remember how many cars they said went in the water, but the entire construction crew, that there were construction crews that were working on the bridge that were like filling potholes and doing whatever, they all died or presumed dead. And then they have they found two more bodies, I think, in the last day or two of people that went down in there. I guess if there is a silver lining in all of this is the fact that there were so many lives saved because the people on the ship like phoned ahead and told them that we were losing power and that we were on the collision course, and were able to actually save so many people's lives. And the fact that it happened at 3 a.m. probably is also
helped out a lot.
Helped out a lot, because had this happened during rush hour, good Lord. Like, that could have been, it could have been way more disgusting. Like, you even see in the video, there are a couple of cars that were driving by right before the ship hit. And I just wonder, like, the survivor's guilt that they're probably going through, knowing that just a couple of seconds late and they probably would have been underwater. Like, you know, so all that to say, like, it's really sad. And not seeing that bridge is going to be interesting for people that go that direction. And traffic in the area and stuff. This is going to be real ugly going forward. But more importantly, it's disgusting for the families who lost lives. So that's.
And we reach out to the lives who are lost, because things, terrible things have happened. It is a horrible tragedy. But I have to say this. I'm on Twitter enough. Captain Scola, you have retired from your Twitter career because of things just like this.
Mm-hmm.
I hate y'all dumbasses.
Niggas are stupid.
Y'all are some of the dumbest people I've ever seen in my life. I don't know how y'all are smart enough to operate a smartphone.
Every day I could see the people that had IEP plans in school. Like, you can just see it.
No. Shit happens. It's horrible. There are car accidents every day. Something goes wrong with everyone's car eventually. Things go wrong with planes all the time, whether they're catastrophic or minor. This is a 100,000 ton, 100 ton something machine.
There's a 100-ton machine that is 940 feet long.
Do you think it can stop on a dime? Do you
Like,
think it's
nigga.
LaShawn McCoy in 2008? No. I just want to know, like, I love laughing at conspiracy theorists because they're dumb. But come on, man. At a certain point, are you just tired of blaming shit on random things that don't exist? This was a cyber terrorist attack. Let's just use some common sense here. If it was a terrorist attack, that means they would want to harm people. Why would the shit go off at 3 a.m.? Why did it happen slow enough for them to call the authorities and get the bridge shut down as much as they could? Sometimes shit just happens. It's sad, of course. No one wants it to happen, but hey, that's life to a degree. And now I feel like it's disrespectful to the lives of the people who lost their lives, because you niggas want to blame shit on J. Cole and Kendrick having beef over this.
Niggas said this is a distraction from Diddy. Diddy is not that important.
At
Nigga,
all.
what? He's actually low-hanging fruit. And also, the other thing, people are stupid. We understand infrastructure is an issue in this country. We understand that. There are a lot of old buildings, a lot of old things, a lot of things that, like, we talk about infrastructure being an issue because is it ready to withstand stuff like climate change and old age, and stuff like that. So that's where infrastructure is a problem. I promise you, there is not a engineer in the country that is going to school to build bridges that can withstand getting collided with fucking boats.
Not a single one.
That has never been in that's never been in the thing. Hey, by the way, oh damn, you failed because oh damn, we did this boat train what's the thing called? We did the boat simulator and we ran the boat into the bridge. And there is no bridge that is built to withstand a boat that damn big.
That, and for y'all who don't know,
Not a cruise ship, it's a cargo boat.
I don't know the exact model and name of that boat, but that is the biggest boat allowed to go through the Panama Canal.
Yeah, 958 feet long with over 110 pounds, tons of stuff on it. There is no bridge that is going to withstand that.
Nothing. Conspiracy theorists, look, I'm on like two flat earth pages on Facebook just for the shits and giggles, just for laughs, because that don't affect nobody. People are just dumb. But now you're disrespecting the dead who did nothing wrong and you're pissing me off. Stop being a different level of stupid. It ain't always the government. I understand. We don't have a reason to trust them. Cool. It ain't always a terrorist attack. It's not Russia. It's not Trump. There are some people who blame Biden for this. How the hell does 85-year-old Biden get blamed for this? I don't know, but he
Well,
has.
nah, but even some of the shit like niggas talking about a whole failed Democrat leadership. Nigga was a Democrat driving the boat. Nigga, what are you talking about? Was the mayor of Baltimore riding? What is he supposed to do?
I mean,
Niggas talking about why are there all these camera angles set up? Nigga, do you realize they're next to Amazon, nigga? This is the largest port in the country, the most busy port in the country. There's an Amazon headquarters right next to it. There are cameras everywhere. The cameras got cameras. This is not,
everywhere.
that is not the flex y'all think it is. What do you think? Sorry. Anyway, it's like, yo, people are dumb. They are stupid.
You got to be a different kind of stupid. And I don't want to entertain this no more because we're moving on. Stop being stupid, people.
Stop being stupid. Stop watching TV.
So now we have
leave some... the world behind was talking to y'all niggas. Turn the phones up.
We have some funnier news. Kendrick was featured on Future and Metro Boomin's album to basically diss J. Cole and Drake. Now, I'm going to start this off by preferencing for all of Aubrey's Angels out there. Shut the fuck up. This ain't your battle. This is between Cole and Kendrick. Kendrick and Cole. Drake, we've already seen how you respond during beefs, and you shut the fuck up because Kendrick not as nice as Pusha will be. He's not.
Pusha wasn't even that nice. Pusha told the whole world you had a child.
And then Aubrey's Angels tried to act like it wasn't okay to claim a child. Like it was okay to not claim a child.
He never said he didn't claim. Well, no, that's a whole other thing. The point is, yeah, no, to your point, yeah. This is. First of all, I just got to address that Future album was a 2-pack of ass. It was a 2-pack of mid. Let's just get that out the way now. I know it's probably too early to say it, but it's never too early to say it. Metro Boomin is carrying Future. He's been carrying Future for about 10 years now. That nigga Metro is one of the greatest producers ever. Future and these mid-ass raps that he puts over it. And he keeps getting away with it because Metro is just so good at what he does. But Future, this was ass.
I don't really fuck with the project either. But mainly, this is for the big boys, Drake. Sit mm-hmm. down, be a cheerleader. But one thing I can appreciate about this beef, it doesn't sound malicious. It sounds like I'm taking shots at somebody I respect as a competitor, but it doesn't sound like I'm going to kill you, da-da-da-da. It don't sound like Biggie and Pac. It really don't even sound like Nas and Jay. It just sounds like, you know, like Kobe and LeBron back in the day. Like, I mm-hmm. respect you as a competitor. I just want to whoop you, and I'm going to do so by saying it right here.
Because at the end of the day, before all of the foolishness, rap was a sport. It's a sport.
Yeah.
It's some of the best lyrical, poetic people in the world going at one another on a track. That's what it was intended to be. I don't know what the hell it's turned into, but that's what it was supposed to be. And we kind of sort of saw it with the girls, because they be going at each other, even though I don't really like a lot of them, but like they be going at each other and stuff. And the niggas kind of got lost in the shuffle. It's like, no, this is how it was supposed to be. This is what it was intended to be.
This is what
now the Aubrey sexuals are going to take it personally and act like he's coming at their Lord and Savior, Aubrey Graham. That's y'all's prerogative. But this is what rap was intended to be.
Yes, it's like any other sport. It's like any other art. Like, you don't think movie directors be hitting each other up and say, yeah, my next project gonna shit on yours.
Right.
Like, you don't think other artists in other forms like be talking shit to each other? No, I'm sure there's some mutual respect. But
I'm sure Shakespeare back in the day told the other playwrights, runneth thy pen, heathen.
Runneth thy pen. Like,
right.
People have been talking shit since the beginning of time, no matter what you do, no matter what profession you in. I definitely have told other journalists, hey, my next article for the shit on yours.
I be telling people, like, I'm elite. I haven't won anything yet. Y'all don't know my name yet, but yeah.
So, yeah, I just want to say this is what hip-hop needs. And it's not from one of these new age TikTok guys who drop songs that are a minute and 45 seconds long. And yes, I will say, if your song is only two minutes to 2.5 minutes, you made it for TikTok. Let's not split hairs. That doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, but I will say, like, you knew what you were doing. And I don't think that's a good direction for hip hop to be. But Cole and Kendrick, I am looking forward to this. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could say more, but we don't have a whole lot of detail yet. But just know, shots will be fired, and real rap is back.
Right.
So, we'll move on to the actual focus of the D1 Ignite University podcast of we like sports, and it is off season for the NFL, but that doesn't mean there's not plenty of action to go around because, like every offseason, the NFL decides to change some rules and do this and that to what they think will make the game better. We can start off with the new kickoff rule. For those of you who watched the XFL last year, you may be familiar. It'll look very similar to that. Captain Scully, are you aware of the new kickoff rules?
Yes, unfortunately. So they're doing it like the XFL, where you're going to line it up at the 35 or 30, I believe.
Between the 30 and 35, yeah.
And then the players are lined up at the opposing team's, at the receiving team's 40-yard line. And they don't move until the return man has the ball in his hands and runs forward. Then they're allowed to go down and try to tackle him, whatever. Basically, it ensures that there will be a kick return, because if you kick it through the end zone, it'll be a penalty, I think, and it'll start it at the 30-yard line. So, yeah, it's basically ensuring returns, which I personally, I'm going to get to my thoughts in a second because I'm sure you got something you're about to say.
I don't see a huge difference in the – I don't see a huge reason to change the rule. I agree that you should have kickoffs in the game. I do have it here that a league low 22% of kickoffs were actually returned in 2023. That's the lowest in league history. I feel like the easiest way to do this was, bro, just scoot the kicker back 10 yards like they used to.
Now, how about we just go back to, this was overcorrecting a correction. This was something that the NFL, when I tell you, these are the most Jekyll and Hyde-ass niggas in the history of professional sports. 10 years ago, y'all purposely pushed kicks back to avoid injury. On purpose. This was the idea, was to reduce the number of returns that came out the end zone. That was what y'all said, word for word, bar for bar, was y'all wanted to reduce the number of kickoffs. And here we are 10 years later doing exactly that. And now all of a sudden it's, well, there are no more kickoffs. What the hell's going on? Why is this play so useless? Nigga, y'all corrected this 10 years ago. All you got to do is go back to the original rules.
You can't have both. We can't say the kickoff is the most dangerous part of the game. We want to try to limit it. Cool, I get that. 10 years later, well, there's not enough kickoff returns. Nigga, you are why there's not enough kickoff returns.
Oh, it's the most dangerous. We want to limit it. Nigga, why is it so limited? Nigga, you
can't complain about some shit you caused.
This is the dementia kicking in. All these old-ass owners, this is the dementia. They forget. All right, Grandpa, put the thing down.
See, I will say this. This is what happens when people who did not play the game are making decisions for the game.
Or haven't played since they wore leather helmets.
Or haven't played since fucking leather helmets. Like, come on, man. I'm all for adapting to the modern times. You want to make the kickoff safer? Cool, I get it. But damn. This not even football. This is some weird 7-on-7 rule shit that I would see at a random tournament at a park somewhere.
Now, if we can get a bunch of returns out of it, cool. Oh, you know what else? You know what else they took away, which is equally stupid?
What?
They took away the surprise onside kick. There is no these. So remember the New Orleans Saints in the Super Bowl against the Colts? Yeah. And how they came out the second half, they took that away. That's no longer on the table. You can't do that anymore.
And that,
if you want to do an onside kick, you have to report that you're doing an onside kick. That is heinous.
I remember the league bitching and moaning that it's damn near impossible to recover an onside kick. Like, well, this ain't helping. You can't complain that the kickoff is the most dangerous. Oh, we want more returns. Damn, it's impossible to get an onside kick. You got to pick one problem.
Because that's the other thing. They only do this with kickoffs. Nobody say anything about punt returns.
And if you, and that's what I mean by you didn't play. Because anybody in their mama is not afraid to return a kickoff. That's normal. You get 15, 20 yards to see everybody coming.
And you got blockers in front of you.
It's punts that are scary. It's punts that are dangerous. Because, look, blocking on punts is extremely hard because, for one, they know where the ball is and you do not. Your back is to the ball to block, so it's really hard. Not to mention, do you know how hard it is to look at the ball, look at the defender, look back at the ball, look back at the defender, look at the ball, catch it, and hope you don't get demolished?
I mean, absolutely obliterated. Like, remember Darren Sproles? Remember, and this was an illegal hit too. Remember Darren Sproles when he was with the Eagles and he caught that ball and just absolutely got his head taken off by the Chaser Everett? That is terrifying. And nobody has ever talked about punt returns. Ricardo Lockett was forced to medically retire on a punt return, not a kick return, a punt return. Punt returns are way more dangerous, but because there's more action, we don't talk about it because they want action. They want every play to be must-see TV.
And they argue like, well, you got to give him a yard cushion to catch the ball. Like, really? No, you don't. All you really got to do is be far away enough to not touch him before he catches the ball.
Right. Like, yeah, this, if this was really about safety, no. This is about the kickoff had essentially become a free play. Like, oh, if you want to go up, get up and go get some more Buffalo dip, or you want to go to the bathroom real quick in between plays, that was what you used the kickoff for. You couldn't do that on punts.
Nope.
They want every play nonstop action. Every single play.
Leading into the next dumb topic that the NFL has done, the hip drop tackle is now officially illegal.
No. Per the NFL, the hip drop swivel.
What the hell is a hip drop swivel or tackle? That's just called a tackle.
It is. They essentially banned tackling. That's what they did. They have made it essentially illegal to tackle people from behind. This is why I say there's supposed to be a difference in the NFL's eyes. Basically, the hip drop itself is not illegal. It's the swivel. It's basically the part of the tackle where, like, when you swing around, like, I don't know if anybody, well, I mean, I'm sure, you know, you're in Texas. You're familiar with bull riding.
Yeah.
Or, like, when they jump on the bull's head and bring him down to the ground and tie him up.
Except
spearing or whatever. Yeah. Essentially, that's like a form of tackling from behind. And they're making that illegal in the league because a lot of people. But it's stupid because, first of all, this, again, is a bunch of niggas that ain't played the game at all making these rules. Or just that don't care about defense at all. Because I'm going to tell you what. If you are Emmanuel Forbes, who is about 5'10", 170 pounds, soaking wet, and you're, for whatever reason, being forced to cover Travis Kelce, on a particular play. Travis Kelce catches the ball in front of you and he's running and you got to stop him from getting in the end zone any way possible. You're 170 pounds. Travis Kelce is on a good day, he's probably 215, 220.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to just let him go? He's like, how am I going to tackle Saquon Barkley in the open field? With them big tree trunk legs that every NFL annotator is drooling over and everything. Oh, look at that man's legs. Look at that body. Look at that butt. Nigga, y'all gay. Anyway, how am I supposed to tackle Derrick Henry? If he's coming at me with his patented stiff arm and is going to shove my ass into the face first into the dirt, how am I supposed to bring him down now? Am I supposed to just take it?
And I bet you if you grab his arm and just drop your weight, for one, that'll probably separate his shoulder, and then that'll be another new rule.
That's part of the rule. Yeah, if you grab him arm and then you swing down, that's technically considered. And you know they're gonna sit here, and you know the NFL always does this because they did this with roughing the passer, where it's like, oh well, we're not intending it to be illegal to hit quarterbacks. We're just taking this particular play away. But y'all know human error comes in with these referees. And there is going to be a play that is clearly not egregious at all. We've seen some egregious roughing the passer penalties where it's like remember the Tom Brady with the Falcons? Like, mm-hmm. We've seen some egregious roughing the passer penalties. It's going to be like that with this. The NFL can, oh, it's in good faith and all that, all they want. But we know how this is going. We know it's going to be some games won and lost over this shit.
And tackles, the art of tackling is such a bang, bang, real-time thing. They're like, bro, there's no way that you, as a normal human, with your eyes can clearly see, yeah, that's a hip drop, that's a hip swivel. It's just called a tackle. At this point, bro, let's just play flag.
Right.
7-on-7 is about to be an Olympic sport. Flag is about to be an Olympic sport. Let's just do that. Because at this point, tackling is illegal. You've put handcuffs, shackles, ankle weights, and lead blocks to the defense because they can only do so much.
You can't tackle the quarterback wrong. You can't tackle players wrong. The real reason the NFL did this is not for player safety. It's to protect their own asses from lawsuit. Because too many players are getting hurt and they don't want to get sued. They want to at least give it on paper like, hey, we tried to protect y'all. We're putting these measures in place. That's all this is.
Look, I'm going to end the segment like this. It is football. Everybody signed up to get hit. They know what they got themselves into.
They did.
From 5 years old to the NFL, you're going to get hit. The odds of you getting hurt, they're decently high.
About 100%. You're going
how
to get
hurt is the question. Some people just twist their ankle or bruise up their shoulder, cool, sit out for a second, get back out there. Some people tear their ACL, some people break their necks. It's sad, but that is the nature of the game that you signed up to play. You know it. Why are we treating it like it's tiddlywinks?
There are football players over the years who have said, I know that CTE and playing football will decrease my lifespan by 10 years, but I don't care because I love the game so much. Niggas are willing to die 10 years early to play this game.
I'm willing to die playing this game, and I'm getting paid like I am. So, NFL, get your shit together. I'm tired of dealing with y'all. Now, on some much lighter news, I ran across another
whole
video.
Show's been heavy.
Real heavy. I ran across another vid on the Clock app, which as of now has not been banned by the United States government. Hopefully it doesn't happen anytime soon. They could, you know, be fixing inflation, world hunger, and all this other bullshit, but TikTok is number one thing on their minds. Anyway, right. I watched a video of a powerlifting tournament. Shout out to Brother Oliver out there. You get to walk out to not just a walk-up song like baseball or softball. You get to walk out and lift to a walk-up clip of a movie or show of your choice, which is just live as fuck. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Scully, what would your walk-out clip be?
Oh, please. The clip and the music, both. It would be Tavon Austin's highlight tape at West Virginia.
Yeah.
Nigga, there's no other thing to walk out to. Nigga, no. I'm walking out to Tavon Austin. You can tell him, man, I've been to hell and back. As soon as that shit goes, because that would be a pop, like in wrestling. As soon as you hear that.
Dude, yeah. That's a solid-ass answer. Not going to lie about it. That's a solid answer. Me, I'm going to do something similar, but it's going to be so perfect. I'm coming out to SpongeBob and the marching band to Sweet Victory.
Yeah.
Yep. And
everybody.
You already know when he hits that, the winner takes all.
Right. Like, yeah.
It's time to go to work. It's the thrill of one more kill. Sweet Victory is what we looking at. Ladies and gentlemen, let us know what would your walk-up clip or song be, because that's live. I think we need to do that in more sports.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we do it.
Either that or, you know, another one I would have?
What?
The LeBron Miami 2012 with All the Lights by Kanye over it?
Yeah, dude.
And number, I forgot what number he was. LeBron! But it wouldn't be LeBron's name. It would be me. All of the light, all of the light. Like, it would go so crazy.
That whole would be like, I think I want to get one more. I'm trying to think what else would just be that moment.
I got one for you.
What?
Oh, shoot. Oh, Big X the plug. You come, bitch, I'm from Texas.
It's got, well, a Texas. All right. Here, it would be the final drive of Texas against USC.
Yep.
Yeah, in the national championship, and it would bust out, bitch, I'm from Texas. We get BS plug. Yep. That's 100% what we're doing. 100%. So, leaving the world of powerlifting behind for now. As you all know, it is the month of March, and March Madness is madnessing. And I have one thing to say as of now. Two things to say. Number one, your boy's bracket is 88%, right? Fuck with me. I know what I'm doing, kind of sort. Number two, fuck the SEC. I know y'all hear me say it all the time, but the SEC is the one that was screwing up my bracket. I was doing good until certain teams just decide to get bitched. A few of them, I called. Again, listen to Jamal when he tells you stuff.
By the way, this is on the men's side. We cool the with men's. The SEC on the women. We cool with South Carolina LSU.
We know.
Fuck the SEC men.
I'm picking South Carolina to win on the women's side. I just would like to say, number one, y'all gonna start listening to me when I tell you about these Ivy League teams. Stop underestimating these nerds. Stop. Right. They gonna be Fortune 500 bank owners and equity firm employees, and guess what? They get buckets.
I'm saying the NCAA tournament is so cool because it's a place where you get to see the future leaders of the industry go up against their former employee or future employees, you know? And it you know, it's a bunch of – I remember somebody put it this the right way. College basketball is a cool way to see a bunch of archetypes that will never make it to the NBA but, like, are still fun to watch.
Absolutely.
That's a perfect way to explain it. Like Jack Golkey, for example. You know, like, no dribbles at all. Just 10 threes in the corner.
He's Duncan Robinson if Duncan Robinson was only 6'2".
Right. DJ Burns is just Zach Randolph. You know, that nigga 6 year senior. He ain't going to the league. You know.
But at least he straight up knows. He said, look, I ain't going to the NBA. This is my greatest athletic feat. So I'd go out there like I'm finna be
blazing.
Which you should. But look, I'll just go down the list. First of all, who got beat by the nerds? Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn.
You know who got beat by, like we said, a future car salesman? Fucking Kentucky, and they're freshmen. McDonald's All-American.
Then you got Mississippi State, who got bitched by Tom Izzo and Michigan State. Alabama's
Izzo.
So Alabama's doing what they're supposed to do. Okay. Texas A&M put up a good fight against Houston, but they got knocked out. I picked that one to happen. That's cool. Kentucky. Kentucky.
Y'all lost to Oakland. And not even Oakland, California. Lost to Oakland in Michigan.
Not even Oakland, California.
They was in California. I found out these niggas is in I don't even know what name of the fucking county they're in. Kalamazoo County or wherever the fuck.
They're in Auburn Hills. So that's right
Auburn outside. Hills, that's right outside the palace.
Yeah, that's right outside of Detroit.
Or the original palace. Yeah. No, these niggas, Oakland in Detroit. Not California. In Detroit. That is disgusting.
That is horrible work. It's just, bro, if you're going to get beat by Oakland, get beat by Dame Lillard's Oakland. Get beat by E-40. Get beat by
G-Eazy. I mean, that's essentially who they got beat by. That nigga looked like G-Eazy. No, he
essentially
doesn't.
Get beat by Zendaya. She's 6'3". She the same. She ain't 6'3", but she tall. She might as well be hooping.
She like 6'1". She 5'11".
All right, and look, South Carolina, bitched by Oregon. I picked that. Nah, so
that didn't. That didn't. Mm-hmm. The only ones Tennessee and Alabama, the only ones doing what they need to do.
Tennessee and Bama are doing what they need to do. I guess I won't fault A&M too bad because Houston is a damn good team, which in some of my brackets, I definitely picked them to win.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of y'all fuckers in the SEC, I hate
that
y'all.
Didn't make it out the first damn round. At least A&M made it out the first round. And they gave Houston a hard time. It wasn't like they got blown off the court.
No, they took them to OT. Not to mention these
all you
schools.
Can ask for. Yeah.
Not to mention A&M and Houston ain't but 45 minutes away from each other.
Right. These niggas know each other. They probably played on the same AAU teams.
They definitely be hooping together in the summer because ain't shit to right. do in College Station. But tournament time, I love it. Especially when Jamal just gets proven right. The Ivy League team is going to win a game. There's going to be an upset of a 5-12 seed. And what do you know? Good old Grand Canyon knocking out St. Mary's.
Yeah, St. Mary's is so – the WCC is a conference, bro. Gonzaga, St. Mary's, I'm sick of both of them. I'm so
really
sick of both of them.
Hate Zaga.
No, like, even though this year they – I just hate Zaga now. I used to support them, but they pissed me off and made me look bad so many times. I'm sick of them now. Like, also, here's one other thing, and this is one other thing about the tournament that we tell you. This happens every year. If there is a mid-major – program that comes in at 30 wins or better, they are going to win. Florida Atlantic, I didn't expect them to go to the Final Four, but I called them beating Memphis last year. You know, they were 31-3 last year. JMU was 30-3. They beat Wisconsin. I told y'all niggas, these teams, when you win 30 or more games and you are a 14 or a 13, that team is finna get upset or close to it.
And look, shout out to JMU Athletics as a whole this year.
As a whole. Yep.
Y'all are doing the damn thing.
Doing it.
It's only a matter of time before y'all get that call. The ACC, I don't know if it's going to exist in a few years, but it's only a matter of time before JMU get that call to at least the Big East.
It's just going to be the CC because it ain't just the Atlantic Coast no more.
No, it's definitely.
It's just going to be the Coast County.
We got what coast? Because
the all of them.
Oregon not on no coast. Eugene, Oregon is not on the coast.
Fucking Washington and Stanford, both, you know, and shit. Gulf Coast and shit.
I don't know what we're going to call it. I just know that, hey, some
shit. It's
going to
be the conference. We in the conference.
We're just going to call it the conference.
The conference.
There's the SEC and there's the conference.
SEC, Big Ten, and the conference, and Big 12. It was more like a Big 15, but yeah.
Hey, you know, they got to do what they got to do to survive. Staying in the realm of college, kind of. I be bored working from home sometimes. And I started rewatching Last Chance U again. Y'all, for those of you who have never seen it, Last Chance U is just a docuseries on junior college football. I, too, play junior college football, so it's very near and dear to my heart. Just to see what these guys go through, because a lot of it is what I went through. And some of these guys just fucking stupid.
They just dumb as hell. Just dumb as a box of rocks.
Some of them are like, I know why you in JUCO. Oh, I know why you here.
Because you're dumb in the classroom and out of it.
Because for those of you who are still athletes, student athletes listening to this podcast, please, if you don't listen to a word I say, listen to this. If you go to class, shut up and don't be a dumbass, I promise you'll get a C. I promise you'll get a C. I can't promise you'll get on the dean's list, but I promise you'll pass. Because at the end of the day, bro, it's like getting a job. If they like you, they will not shoot you down. Half of the battle in life is getting people to like you. It's not always what you know, but who you know. And if you know the teacher fucks with you, I promise you'll get a C.
This is the shit I be talking about. I was watching some. I ain't watched Last Chance U in a minute. I got to go back and watch it. But it's like, nigga got all failing out. He flunked out of university. He was at Florida State, flunked out there, and was doing stupid shit. Now you at wherever the fuck university and think you going to go to the league. Nigga, sit down.
Go fill out that job application. Stop it.
Let's just get through JUCO first.
Get through JUCO. Talking about you going to the league one day. Nigga, no, you're not. So if you don't chill.
So I say this to say, Captain Scully, what show do you think deserves at least one more season?
There's so many. There's so many. But I will say, if there is a show I think deserves another season, I mean, this one is fairly recent and we know why it ended, obviously, but Winning Time.
Winning Time for sure.
Like, Winning Time. No, it shouldn't have ended like that. And we know why, obviously, the writer's strike and they lost money. Like, we get all that. But, like, damn. Damn. It's like, yo, that's unfortunate that it had to end like that.
It deserves so much better. And then the season it ended was Magic just getting into his prime as a player.
Right. We didn't even see him get AIDS yet.
We didn't. And that was literally the first few minutes of the first episode. It was the first thing on the syllabus.
First thing on the syllabus. We wanted to see how they attacked that.
We wanted to see that. Hey, look, I know we think they're from different eras, but Magic and Mike, they only 5 years apart.
Right. Mike ended his run. We want to see how the Rodney King stuff. I wanted to see how they attacked that. Because Magic was like right in the middle of it. I wanted to see how they did Rodney King. I wanted to see that.
I wanted to see how they were going to attack the 92 Dream Team.
Right. Like his comeback. Like, man.
The 92 Dream Team could have been the end of the season, of the series.
Right.
Because look, for those of you who are not up to date on your timeline, Magic's rookie season was the 79-80 season. Jordan was drafted in 84. So when Jordan was drafted, Magic was just coming into his prime. And then by the time Michael came into his prime, we would say 88.
I would say his first title was 90.
Yeah, so I'd say his prime.
He beat Magic in his first title. So yeah, 88. Yep.
Magic was still the top dog, and it was Jordan's job to dethrone him. And then we could have seen, we all know about that legendary scrimmage with the Dream Team. We all know it was started mainly by Michael and Magic talking shit. Magic was at the top of the mountain. He didn't want to give it up.
All right, Carl. Now you got to get him, Carl.
Get him. Nah. You go at him, Carl. And Larry, at the end, Larry through the whole time, he just on his back. Like, damn, this shit hurt. But damn, that little nigga is hooping.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm 100% with you. Winning Time deserved another season. Now, the show, I'm going to say, it's controversial because we're missing a few people who made it so great from the beginning. But so much shit has happened in the world. The Boondocks has to come back.
It does.
We need the Boondocks. I understand without Pops, without John Witherspoon, it won't be the same. But just for his memory, we can find a way to write Granddad off in a good way, in a respectable way. The world needs the Boondocks to just explain everything. And in 20 years, when people are talking about some of the greatest shows of all time and how they affected media when they're studying it in class, the Boondocks better be there.
Right.
That's it all. Huey, it just covers the Black community perfectly to a T. Everybody know a Huey. Everybody know a Riley. Everybody know a Granddad. You may or may not know a pimp named Slickback. That just depends on your upbringing and where you from, but
we know variations of it. We've seen some people say some stuff where it's like,
maybe
not quite.
Maybe he does really hit women, and maybe it's not just a bad joke.
You gotta tell your girl to behave. Nigga, behave. She's my girlfriend, not my daughter.
Not my daughter. Behave. What?
But you gotta get your girl in check. Nigga, what? Huh? Red flag.
But that's the discourse that we need in entertainment. So I'm just saying,
Can you imagine how Boondocks would do this Diddy situation? Can you imagine they would get banned the way they did with Tyler Perry?
I was about to say, he'd be all they ass like Tyler Perry was mad.
Right. Ah, man.
Huh. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for tuning in to another episode of the one and only D1 Ignite University podcast. Captain Scully, you have any final thoughts to the people?
I will say, if y'all haven't watched it already, go check out the Freaknik documentary on Hulu. A good documentary. And stop acting up, bro. Y'all already got kicked out of Miami. What's next? Because Tulum, I can't deal with it. I can't deal with y'all getting us kicked out of Tulum. I can't deal with it. I haven't even been yet.
Look, and I promise all y'all who say Miami not ready for me, yes, it is.
They are. They've seen a million different niggas like you.
They've seen a million just like you. I promise you, not special.
And if you are 29 or 30 years old, still trying to take PTO to go hang out with college kids at spring break, my brother in Christ, grow up. You're scaring the host. They don't want you. Go start a family. Go vacation somewhere else. Miami at 30 years old. Spring break at 30 years old, rather. Not Miami itself. Spring break at 30 years old. My brother in Christ, it's time to retire.
Just wait 2.5-3 more weeks.
Right. Them 21-year-old girls don't want you, bro. They don't.
If anything, the weather will be nicer mid-April than it will be mid-March.
Oh, no. I've been in both. In mid-March, it's a nice, cool 70 during the day and 50 at night. It's beautiful. In August, it's damn right slavery.
That's why I said April.
Oh, you said April. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm not saying delay your trip, 3 months, because it is cheaper to go in April than it is in August. But hey,
August is no college kids.
Spring break is,
crazy.
Mid-March to the end of March. Fam, just wait till the middle of April. It's okay. Mm-hmm. That 3 weeks not going to kill you.
Them 21-year-olds don't want you, bro.
They don't. So, like I said earlier, thank you for tuning in to the one and only D1 Ignite University podcast. We look forward to coming to you semi-live whenever the hell I feel like it, because I can do that. Ladies and gentlemen, like I love to say at the end of each and every episode, keep learning, keep living, keep loving. Stop being stupid. Conspiracy theories aren't real. And we out. University.